I sent you in the mail some a copy of a report that we wrote last summer at the Secretary of the Air Force's office, where we were asked by the GAO to investigate or do some research on something that's known as the Roswell incident. And I sent you that. Did you have a chance to review that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So for the record, I'd just like you to state your name.
My name is Chief Roland H. Lutz, Chief Master Sergeant, retired from the United States Air Force.
Okay.
I live at 707 Crestwood Street, Mary Esther, Florida.
All right. I guess the first thing I'd like you to do, is, even though we're just going to discuss a particular incident in 1959, if you could just give a brief overview of your training and positions you held in the Air Force.
Well, in the Air Force, let me start at the Navy. In fact, I enlisted in the Navy in October 1947. Spent some 12 years in the Navy, and in 1958 I transferred over to the Air Force from the Navy, and my first assignment was to Holloman Air Force Base, New Mexico, as aeromedical technician in the Flight Surgeon's Office. Subsequently became the NCIC of the Flight Surgeon's Office, and my collateral duties were at the Human Tolerances Branch at Holloman Air Force Base as a sled test subject, riding the sleds periodically and working in the research lab out there with Colonel Staff Captain Eli Beating, and I also was associated with Captain Jim Kittinger and Manhai Project, where I and I covered his balloon jumps over the ranges of New Mexico, and as well as his sort of medic assistant on many of his incursions in the balloon. Those were my primary duties.
Okay.
Also, I flew search and rescue for incidences on the ranges and in and around Holloman Air Force Base.
Okay. Okay, the particular incident occurred on May 21st, 1959, where there were a long time ago. So if you could just explain how you became involved in that particular mission and that project, and just explain what you remember about that day, that mission.
I was assigned that mission by my flight surgeon, Les Eason, a captain at that time, now out of the Air Force and retired, of course, a doctor, flight surgeon, and he asked me to cover this particular mission, which would emanate from Holloman Air Force Base over the San Andreas Mountains to Roswell, New Mexico, and the surrounding area of Walker Air Force Base. It was a balloon of three individuals involved. The gondola had Captain Hoffman, Captain Fulgham, and Captain Kittinger as the pilot of the balloon. The purpose was to train these individuals in the balloon handling and touch and goes and so forth and so on. And my mission was, of course, to cover them medically for any incidents that might occur during this mission. So I launched my ambulance, followed them over the mountains at night, and the following morning I took up in the helicopter, H-21 helicopter. And it was during this time that I don't recall, but right at daybreak, I must, somewhere around there. But I peered out the window of the helicopter and saw Dust Devil catch the gondola as they were doing touch and go and dump all three occupants from the gondola. I asked the pilot to land immediately, and I responded to their needs immediately, and noted that Captain Kinship was bleeding, not profusely, primarily from cuts and bruises, and from whatever kind of weed that he might have tangled with. Captain Fulgham, the leading edge of the gondola, had caught his helmet. I knew that he was in pretty dire straits. Captain Kaufman looked reasonably well, so proceeded to put them in the helicopter and respond to Walker Air Force Base. It was this time, when the helicopter landed, that ostensibly this man had prized cattle, the rancher, on this...
It's always prized cattle.
Yeah, right. came running at the helicopter and me shaking his fist and shouting, my cattle have broken the fence, go round them up. And I insisted, or told him I wasn't a cowboy, that I was a medic and I had some injured people, and he was not concerned about us, he was concerned about his cattle. But I remember vaguely the cattle breaking the fence, and hopefully they would not come towards us, but, and they didn't. But then we went into Walker Air Force Base and took my patients in there, as it were. And my first thing was to call the flight surgeon, of course. And I called the duty flight surgeon home, and I told him I had three people that were injured in a gondola accident. And I don't recall the flight surgeon's name because it wasn't that important at the time. And he said, go home and sleep it off. I guess he thought I'd been drinking all night. So I called the second flight surgeon, and I got the same the same initial response, hey, I'm having fun sleeping, go sleep it off, essentially. Words not exactly to that, but the same thing. I finally called the hospital commander and told him, and he said, I'll be right there, Sergeant Lutz. And that's when he responded to the urgency of the matter. It was then that they were taken well, of course, they were taken into the emergency room, but we had some minor problem with security of the thing. I was not involved in that, however. My concern was these three individuals. I was staying with them, whatever happened. I remember that and being with them until they got into the emergency room for a complete checkout when the hospital commander finally got there. Following that, I saw Captain Fulgham on several occasions, and I knew then that his head was swelling, and we thought about that me being included in the conversation, me not being the person that was going to do it, but aspirating his the hematoma that had occurred around his head, which had this time grown to enormity, and of course his eyes had blackened, and the orbits or the sockets around it have turned black, and as a result of the blood collecting around it, and the hematoma had got larger. And talk of aspiration was done, but then we decided, I think, at somewhere in this conversation, to put him in a aircraft that was safe to fly him in from there to Holloman Air Force Base, and perhaps take up that task at that point. And we got an aircraft, C-54. Type. I did not go in the aircraft. Captain Kinniger, Captain Kaufman did. I responded back to my, I called my boss, Major Joe Ganey, who was hospital commander at Holloman Air Force Base, gave an overview of the details, told him everything was well in hand, and asked him to relay this message to Dr. Eason. And I told him as much as I could about the incident. Somewhere along the line, I also mentioned that this was a classified mission. I don't know what the classification, I still don't know what the classification is for that matter. They told me it was classified to the extent that, I guess to keep onlookers and this type of thing away, but there was no secrets involved in the thing, or they wouldn't have, flown over the mountains or into people's cow pastures.
Right.
So that's about all I have on the thing. I remember there was, I'd been asked if there was a nurse there. I don't recall any nurse being there, and a black sergeant. I don't recall any black sergeant being there whatsoever. I remember some folks scurrying around after they finally took note of the fact, yes, that we did have somewhat of an emergency here, and they were more in awe of what the circumstances were than they seemed to be taking care of the matter. So I tried to pitch in and be an assistant medic as well as, but since I was not, it was not on my turf, I sort of laid back on those things.
Okay. All right, I'll just ask you a few specifics.
Sure.
You kind of remembered the way the other guys did. What I'll just ask you about is, when you saw the accident, do you remember if there were other Air Force people on the ground that were in the area other than the three pilots in the balloon?
I have to be very frank with you. I don't. I simply don't. Okay. Undoubtedly they were, but it was not to my, that's probably was not a point of my interest. My interest was getting into the helicopter and covering them. No, I simply don't.
Okay. Now, you said that you were in a helicopter and you followed them during the daylight, but then you mentioned an ambulance?
No, I took the ambulance.
You...
Yeah, I wasn't in a helicopter all the time.
Oh, okay. At nighttime, you were in an ambulance?
Yes.
Okay.
Over the mountains.
Okay.
Yeah, I followed their red lights on the gondola.
Okay.
Their running lights.
Okay. You were in an ambulance during the night?
I drove the ambulance. I started off in an ambulance, right, and drove it over the mountains.
So did you see them take off?
Oh, yeah.
From Holland?
Oh, yeah. I saw the whole thing.
And
yeah.
Then you went there?
Then I followed them.
Okay, then you just...
I followed them.
Okay.
That was my mission.
Watched their lights.
Right.
Okay. Okay. And then at daybreak or thereabouts, you transferred from the ambulance
right.
to the helicopter.
That's right.
Okay. All right. And when they were dumped out,
mm-hmm.
you looked them over,
yes,
saw the Chatton injury,
right.
got them on the helicopter.
Made a cursory examination right away, right. Well, I could see that Fulgham's head was starting to swell right away. It was a sudden onset type thing. The blow was so traumatic that the injury response was swelling of the head almost immediately. I could see that.
Okay.
I did not remember. I may have, but I don't remember removing his helmet, or his helmet got knocked off. I don't remember that. I know it's important probably to the investigation, but I don't remember.
Okay.
It may have been one of the things I did as a result of it. If it was still on, I would have removed it because of the swelling to prevent further injury, right? That would be my first reaction.
So from the time the gondola hit the ground until the time you got there, how long was that?
Minutes.
Okay.
Minutes.
All right. Do you know about where this happened?
About? I know it happened in a rancher's cow pasture.
In relation to Walker Airport?
It wasn't that long. No. 5-10 minutes flight, perhaps, at the most.
Okay.
Again, the excitement of the time and the shock of the thing even happening probably preoccupied my senses as well, because my concern was them, and that's all I focused on. I wasn't thinking about time or when it started or when it happened or anything like that. I know it was early in the morning. I do know that.
Okay. All right.
Had to be early in the morning to back up what I said about the doctors not wanting to respond also and not come to the emergency room, and it couldn't have been that far away either, because it was still light when this incident happened, and it was still light when I got there, and still early when I got there. That's the thing that I guess I'm trying to verify.
Okay, so when you got to Walker, do you remember where the helicopter landed?
No.
Do you remember?
No, because it wasn't that far from the hospital area, I know that. I don't remember where the hospital area was.
Do you remember any security people meeting the helicopter?
No. No, I don't.
All right.
This is all could well have happened, but my concern was these three individuals, and I was at any, whatever, I knew what I had to do, and I knew what I was going to do, and that was what I was primarily concerned with. And I don't remember meeting any or having any conversation with any or anybody telling me we couldn't do this or couldn't do that. No, I don't.
Okay. All right. When you got to the hospital, you told me that you don't remember any involvement with a nurse. You remember any nurse?
No, I don't. I got almost immediately on the phone. I sat him down in a hallway, as I recall. There was a sort of a bench type thing. Joe Kittinger might have sat on the left or right, and Fulgham probably was in the middle, and Kaufman was probably on his side, more or less to peer after him. And I went immediately for the phone to get a flight surgeon down there. And I left. Joe was in enough sensibility that he could take care of the others if anything happened during my absence, to get on the phone. And that's when I got on the phone and told him I needed a flight surgeon. So, for all intents and purposes, I was away from them probably for 5 to 6 minutes trying to get somebody down there to peer at them and examine.
Okay.
Right.
Were there other people in the hospital?
There were. I saw people around me, but no one seemed to be the lead individual to take on. Like, I shouldn't have been on the phone, for instance. Somebody else should have been on the phone, but no one seemed to take an interest. And I'm not demeaning him, don't get me wrong. It just seems like they were all quite confused that was going on. And I didn't have time to explain to them, except the fact, I may have mentioned that, yeah, we got three people here injured, I need a flight surgeon, but since no one reacted, I reacted, as I've been, you know, trying to do.
So, as you said before, you said the doctors said sleep it off.
Yeah. Two of them.
And that was because it was this odd, was it odd to them for you to say there was three Air Force pilots that were flying a balloon that were injured?
Yes.
Is that it?
It was completely unknown to them. I had no idea.
They were sacked.
Right. Who the hell's in a balloon? You know?
They weren't involved in any of the experiments.
No,
over time.
No. And of course, apparently, no one was either forewarned or told that we were coming.
Yeah.
Guess who's coming to breakfast? Nobody told us.
Okay. So you didn't remember a nurse, and you also said that you did not remember a black ensign.
No, I do not, under any circumstance. No. Okay.
The story that's been told is that a black NCO was accompanying a angry redheaded captain. Does any of that?
Nothing gels there with me. Number one, he was not angry. He was, if anything, probably the calming influence to all of us. I mean, you're talking about Joe Kittinger.
Would he be the one you think would be the redhead?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got shock red hair. Absolutely.
Oh, he has bright red hair.
Oh, yeah. A little gray in it now, but okay. For all the things he's been through, he deserves it.
Yes. I'll say. So you don't remember any black NCO accompanying him with a clipboard walking around?
No, I do not.
Do you?
No, because I would have challenged that. Why would he even be doing that when I couldn't even get people to assist?
So in your group that you remember that you were working with, mm-hmm. there was the three pilots.
Right.
Kittinger, Fulgham, and Kaufman.
Yes.
You.
Yes.
Do you remember the helicopter pilot? Was he at all involved? Did he stay with the airplane?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
I can't tell you.
But in your little group that went to the hospital, mm-hmm. no other guy came with you to assist you or to assist the pilots?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
Not that I remember.
Okay.
No, I wish, you know, I wish I could say yes, but I just don't remember. Because I followed them right through to the scenario I gave you, the bench. As I recall, they were all three on a bench. And Joe was on one end or the other, and I can't remember. I'm going to call it the left end of the bench, and Kaufman was on this, and then Fulgham was in the middle. Now, that's the way I perceived it, and told him I had to go get a flight surgeon. I remember telling Captain Kittinger I had to get a flight surgeon,
mm-hmm.
and go ahead, you know.
Do you remember Colonel Kittinger, or Captain Kittinger at that time, getting involved in any altercations while he was there?
Absolutely none.
Do you remember a male civilian that he had a discussion with? Or?
No, I didn't see any male civilians there. If it was a civilian, it may have given the appearance of a civilian. If it was anybody dressed in whites that may have worked in and around the emergency room or the office there.
Did you see anyone there that, I don't know how you would tell, but did you see anyone there or any equipment that you'd identify as being from a mortuary or a mortician?
No, thank God. Okay. that would have been rather awesome.
Okay.
Gonna haul the bodies away before we even save them. Huh?
Did you, when you were in the hospital that day, did you see any human remains that were being transported in a body bag?
No.
Okay. Let's see. Were you in a particular hurry when you were there, or not in a hurry, or?
Hurry? No, I wouldn't classify it as a hurry. I was in a position of concern. I wasn't in a hurry to my concern was, of course, that these people got attended to, and that may have given the appearance of being in a hurry, but any emergency situation it always gives the appearance of hurriedness.
Okay. Did you participate in the treatment of Fulgham? Did you go into the treatment room?
I went in the treatment room. I don't think I participated in the treatment. I remember Joe being sewed up cosmetically with 6-0 silk. I remember that. He probably got into the bramble bush out there, or whatever they call it. I remember vaguely him being sewed up in a couple of places. I remember his eyes also. He was concerned because he had a flight physical a couple of days later coming up, and he had no, as I wrote in some of the articles I've written about the incident, I told him he didn't have any concern. This is all after the fact now, but he didn't have any, he was worried about not passing the eye part of the thing because his eyes were closing on him after the trauma that he sustained. But a lot of it was precipitated too by the suturing that was done. But no, he was not.
Do you remember?
I may have participated in taking care of some of their garments or something like this, but again, when you're in other people's turf, you don't know their routine, you don't know what their medical suture trays are or anything. You just don't go in and contaminate the emergency room. No.
Do you remember how many doctors treated Captain Fulton?
I'm going to say one, but I can't swear to that. I think when the bell finally tolled and people realized that there was an aircraft incident, non-dirigible aerostat incident, the people finally got out of bed and responded after the colonel, hospital commander came down there and started shaking the trees. Yeah, but I don't remember them coming in there half-dressed or anything like that, but I feel confident they did respond, yes. But at this point, I probably was out in the waiting room and taking... Or calling my doctor in Holloman too. I could have been on the phone, you see, because I gave him a phone report as much as I could.
Okay. Where was this phone you were using? Was it?
I don't know. It was in one of the offices.
Okay.
Located next to or could have been not in the emergency room, but located very close to it.
Okay. The doctor that treated Fulton Kittinger, was he regular staff doctor there? Do you think that he worked there?
Hard for me to say. Undoubtedly assigned a walker, if
okay.
That's what you mean.
Yes.
Yes. Nobody that we brought with us, no.
Okay. All right. And do you remember how you left?
You know, I may have gone back on that aircraft, but I don't remember.
Did you leave by helicopter?
I could have done that, too.
Okay.
I just simply don't remember. I wish I could be more specific about it, but I could have gone back on the C-50, but I don't think I did, because I remember going down to the flight line with Fulgham and Kaufman and saying goodbye, or more or less waving off, and I probably went back on the helicopter. I just don't remember. You know,
so
it,
you think that they left on a fixed-wing airplane from Walker?
They went, yeah, this is one of the requirements I asked for, was a aircraft that could be... pressurized because of his head injury.
Okay.
I specifically remember asking for a pressurized aircraft if we were going to fly him anywhere, and not to go, you know, not in a helicopter that went to altitude, because any amount of pressure after the sustained injury would cause further injury. So
now, could this be, looking at his official medical record from his file, he was, after he got initial emergency care at Walker,
yeah,
he then, when they got back to Holloman,
yeah,
he was admitted to the hospital by Dr. Eason.
Yeah.
And then about 4 days later, he was released to go. He was TDY to Holloman, so
yes.
He was released back to Wright-Patterson.
Right.
I guess what I'm asking is, was he, because Colonel Kittinger and Kaufman and Fulgham, they remember getting a transport type airplane to go back to Wright-Patterson.
Yeah.
So, do you think you could be confusing?
Could be.
His transport back to Wright-Patterson?
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But you remember this plane, like, for lack of a better word, was it a special flight?
It was, it was, absolutely, it was definitely for that purpose, as I recall.
That takes care of 1959.
Yeah.
Now I'd just like to ask a question. You said that you had written about this.
Yes, I had.
It was this, you showed me something you had written in your
Air Commando newsletter. I first wrote this article in September of 1993, and I wrote, a sequel to this in the March issue of 1994.
Did you know that this was involved in this Roswell incident?
Absolutely not.
What made you decide to write about it?
I write stories, and I try to bring interest to the membership about some of my exploits over the years. And this happened to occur to me, having seen Captain Kittinger on many occasions, having served with him since this 1959 incident, and him being the individual, I guess, and his exploits, ongoing exploits, is crossing the Atlantic in a balloon. And I thought I'd be keen to our readers to write this story, right?
So this incident stuck out in your head as being something kind of interesting.
It was a high point in my life, absolutely.
So there was no serious injury, so
no.
It was kind of, looking back, it was kind of hilarious.
Well, yeah, since everybody's alive and well, absolutely, yeah. Right.
Okay.
I wish all the other stories had the same ending.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I'll tell you, I think that's all I have, unless you have anything else you'd like.
I wish I could be more specific, as I told you, Lieutenant McAndrew, but that's all I remember, and... if anything occurs or jogs my memory again or since, I'll certainly be glad to get in touch with you and just pass it on. But that's all I have.
Okay.